Hey there, you've tuned into Thrive's Podcast, a student ministry part of Victory Family Church located in Cranberry Township, PA. You can check us out every Saturday night at 6, or if you missed everything I just said, be sure to follow us on Instagram at Thrive at Victory.
Glad to be in the house tonight, y'all. Come on. He's doing something. I feel it. He is doing something supernatural. And before we get into my message, I want to pull one of you guys up, and I want you to just share briefly what happened to you during worship. Who was someone that really God spoke to them, and he did something supernatural in their life? Anybody? Anybody? Where you at? Come on. We had like 10 people earlier, 15 people. Come up real quick, girlfriend. Come on. Come on. Don't be scared. Don't be scared. This is what this is about. I want you to tell us a little bit about what God did, and this is Vox 1, by the way, what God did in your life during worship. It could be a 20-second thing. Just share with us a little bit.
All right. I was just sitting there worshiping, the same that I always do, and all of a sudden I just got this feeling inside of me, and I dropped to my knees, and I just lost all of the worry that I had for this past couple of months that I've had. I've been worrying about everything, and it was just gone, and I was just there with him, and I was... Amen. Peaceful.
Amen. Amen. Can I give you a hug real quick? That's so awesome. And what I want to do is I want to give you this giving key. It says Sozo on it, and it so happens to be that Sozo is our new ministry starting Wednesday. But this word Sozo, it means to be rescued from danger, to be restored, to be saved, to be set free. And I truly believe that that was a moment where God really set you free. So wear this proudly. We're so proud of you. Thank you for sharing your testimony. Let's give it up for her. Wear that proudly, girl. I'm not allowed to wear mine right now because I guess it gets hit with this microphone, but I would be wearing mine right now. But man, it's so good to be back. I was gone for 2 weeks. It felt like 2 months. I missed you guys so much. So much. You get it? So much? Y'all, come on. Where's the energy in this room? Let's go. I believe that church should be enjoyed, not endured. Like, church should be fun. Like, when I'm in worship, you know what my goal is in worship? It's to sweat every time. Like, I literally want to sweat in worship, because here's the thing. If I can sweat at the gym, which I get physical results, man, I want to sweat in church to get some spiritual gains, y'all. Come on. Can I get an amen? Amen. Come on. But, man, it's so good to be back. I want to talk to you guys a little bit about Sozo before I get into my message. And we're going to go back into worship because God is not finished with you yet. I believe that he wants to set you guys free of some things that maybe holding you back to where God's calling you to go. But I want to fill you in on Sozo. This is so hard to believe, but this is our last Saturday night service. I know. I've been a part of this ministry for over 6+ years, and I've been coming to Thrive every Saturday night, pretty much every Saturday night unless I was away. And this place has impacted my life greatly. And I love the vision of Thrive, and I love the vision that Pastor Zach and Lauren Blair had for the youth. And with every season, I feel like God's calling us into something new. I feel like God's calling us to go where we've never gone before. And sometimes in the Bible, you'll see when God's calling you to go somewhere, it requires a name change. Like when you think about Abram, who we know as Abraham, he did not have kids, but God was saying, I want you to be a father of many nations. So what did he do? He says, I'm no longer going to call you Abram, I'm going to call you Abraham. He looked at Sarah, and he says, you know what? I'm calling you a mother of many nations. I'm no longer calling you Sarah, I'm calling you Sarah. See, when there's a new season or a new grace or a new place that God is calling us to go, sometimes it requires a name change. See, Sozo is just not a name that sounds good, that's trendy, that's good on merchandise, which it's going to be awesome on some hats and t-shirts, and we got our whole clothing line planned out, y'all. Even on your forehead, it looks awesome, bro. You've been Sozoed, man. You've been Sozoed. But Sozo literally means saved rescued from danger. And I was talking to our leaders in our pre-service meeting, and I said, I believe God is calling us as a ministry to reach our region with the sozo love of Jesus Christ. Like, God's calling us to go out to rescue those who are in danger, to seek and to save the lost. He's calling us not to stay in these four walls, but to break out. I feel like the church has done a very good job of living within the four walls. We come and we have Saturday night service, and then all of a sudden we go out and we do our own thing. And I believe in this next season that he is calling this generation to go out. He's calling this generation to go into their schools, to go into their workplace, to go into their homes and show people Jesus. See, that's what sozo is all about. When we gave our hearts to the Lord, he says, you were saved. You were once lost, but now you are found. What are you going to do with that best gift that you ever received? And I can promise you this. There's really three things that we're going to be doing that is going to change this region with the love of God through sozo. The first one is this. Every single Wednesday night, if you're a part of this ministry and you choose to come to Wednesday night, which I encourage you to do, because that's a godly thing to do, y'all. Get your butt in church, all right? But every Wednesday night, we're going to have small groups. And you guys are going to be placed in a small group, gender specific, age specific, or grade specific, and region specific. And the reason why we're doing that is because we know this. When you leave these four walls, you got to know people who are in your school district in your same grade so you can do life with them outside of these four walls. See, Jesus says, I send you out two by two. So man, our small group leaders are going to be investing in you every Wednesday night. See, Jesus, this was his model. He had monologue followed by dialogue. He talked to the multitude, and then he said, hey, listen, if you want to be my disciple, come follow me. So we would talk to the multitude, and people were encouraged and inspired and say, what's it going to take to follow you? And Jesus said, here, come over here. Let me actually tell you what that parable meant, because I don't know if you want to follow me after you understand what that parable meant. See, he had monologue followed by dialogue. True life change happens in the dialogue. And that's what our small groups are all about. It's about you having dialogue with your small group leaders to say, you know what? I never knew that I should stay pure before God. I never knew that I shouldn't have sex before marriage. And you're able to have those type of conversations with your small group leaders. Another thing that we're going to be doing is we're going on to high school campuses. We're going to have high school campus experiences. Right now, I think we're at Slippery Rock. We're at Knock. We're going on New Brighton. We're going on Portersville. We're going on North Allegheny. Where else are we going, man? We're going everywhere. We're taking Seneca Valley. There's like six or Pine Richland. We're going on like six to seven schools this year. And we're taking the gospel to the streets. We're occupying all streets, y'all. Can I get an amen? Amen. Are you guys up for this? Because here's the thing, guys. I, as your pastor, am not here to make weekend warriors, but I'm called to make disciples. I'm not here to tickle your ears and tell you what you need to hear or what you want to hear. I'm here to put the resources in your life to make disciples, because at the end of the day, disciples make disciples. So man, we're going to have small groups. We're going to have our high school campus experience. Another thing that I'm super excited about, and you guys probably won't be that excited, is we have a spiritual roadmap. So our ninth graders, if you're coming in as a ninth grader, one of the things that you're going to be doing is you're going to be reading the book 10 Steps Towards Christ, and your spiritual milestone is to serve. Your sophomore year, man, we want you to go on a local mission trip. Your junior year, we want you to go through Freedom Group in the Freedom Conference. Your senior year, we want you to go on a short-term mission trip. I got Beaver County still on me, y'all. I'm trying to get it out. Yeah, the county. And then lastly, we're going to have you guys serving on the weekend. This church has been called to be a multi-generational church. You guys are called to impact the people who are in that other room. And I want to share one story with you, and we're going to get into this message, and it's going to be a very short one because, man, I believe that we're going to go back into the presence and of worship, and God's going to do something in some of y'all's hearts. But I want to give you guys a quick story of what I believe this next season is going to look like when we start serving with the older generation. There was this young man that I just found out about the story like 2 days ago. This 45-year-old guy, he's right around there. He texted me. He said, "Zach, you're going to be so encouraged and set on fire about what I'm about to tell you." And he said, "There was this young man who came up to me before service, and he said, 'Sir, can I pray for you?'" And this young man began to pray and to prophesy over this 45-year-old guy. See, that's what I believe we're going to see in this next season of life. So that young man so happens to be Sonny. Sonny was open to the word of God, open to the voice of God. And he says, "You know what? I'm not going to let people look down on me because of my age, but I'm going to set an example." Sonny went up to that 45-year-old guy and began to pray over him and prophesy over him. Do you know that that is the same spirit inside of you, that you can do the same, very same thing that Sonny did? And that's what we're going to see in this next season of life. The younger leading the older. The younger honoring the older. So what I want to do is I want to spend about 10 minutes, and I want to talk to you guys on this subject, the courage that overcame what if. The courage that overcame what if. You ever have those moments in life where you kind of look back and you say, you know, what if I would have done that? I would say I've had too many what if moments in my life that I'm not proud of. And I guarantee you, I'm not the only one in this room tonight. A lot of us probably had this. What if I would have stopped procrastinating and studied for that test? Maybe I would have got a better grade. What if I would have ate my spinach and carrots growing up? Maybe I would look like Zac Efron and Adam Levine. What if I would have been a better person? Maybe I wouldn't be so far behind in this life. Or what if I would have slid into her DMs before she got a boyfriend? Maybe we would be dating. Or what if I didn't hang out with that group growing up? Would I be where I am today? Or what if I would have led that person to Jesus? Would their life look a little bit different? And I remember I was 22 years old, and I had this what if moment that I'll never forget. I was 22 years old, and I walked away from God for about 2 years. And I remember coming back into church, and as I was walking into church, I came a little bit late. I'm not going to lie, I didn't know if I wanted to actually come or go to worship, but I came a little bit late, and I was walking down the aisle. I saw this smoking hot, gorgeous, drop-dead girl playing the guitar and singing. And I'm not going to lie, y'all, I didn't care about anything else in the room. My eyes were fixed on her. I didn't hear one single word that she was saying. I didn't care what anybody else was doing around me. I had my eyes fixed on this girl. And I remember after worship was done, I'm like, man, I got to find out who that cutie is, y'all. I need to hit her up. And as I was sitting down, hearing the message, the only thing that I could think about is, man, there's no way that I can be with that girl. She's perfect. She's being used by God. And I remember my life was a mess. And God told me, he's like, "Zach, allow your mess to be my message." So as I was sitting in the back corner over there, I just remember having those what if moments. Man, what if I didn't walk away from God? maybe I would have a chance with her. What if she finds out about me and doesn't even want to talk to me? What if I ask her out and she already has a boyfriend? That's a scary one, y'all. Or what if we go out and she totally reads my mail? And I remember I was having those what if moments. So I did what every courageous young man would do. Instead of going up to her, I went up to her friend and I said, hey, listen, can I get your friend's phone number, y'all? So I got her phone number and I texted her a few weeks later and I said, hey, would you want to go out on a date with me or maybe just go get some Panera Bread after church? And she responded. She said, sure, I'll go. And I remember hanging out Panera Bread and I'm like, man, I don't know what I'm going to talk about. And in your head, you have all those questions like, okay, I got 15 questions in case, you know, there's that awkward moment. You ever have that? You're like, in your head, you're already having that conversation, going through all your questions. And I remember sitting down with her and just having the time of our lives. And I remember her speaking into my life because I really didn't know who I was at that time. And if I would have let that what if moment to paralyze my life, I would not be married to the woman of my dreams, Elise Del Turco, y'all. Where's she at? But here's the thing, guys. It's those what if moments that can paralyze you from reaching your purpose. It's those what if moments that can hold you down when God's trying to call you up. It's those what-if moments that are holding you back when God's calling you to go forward. See, we all have those what-if moments in our lives. But I'm here to tell you that when you are a believer of Jesus Christ, he's saying, you know what? I've never called you to have what-if moments. I've never called you to have I-wish moments. See, Jesus died on the cross for me and for you. And we need to understand that we have been given the courage, the boldness of Jesus Christ. We have been given the same spirit that raised Christ from the dead. That same spirit lives in me and in you. And when I look at all the great leaders of our days, there's one thing that I find in common. They had the courage that overcame what if. They had the courage that overcame what if. Nelson Mandela, he had the courage to fight for equality and promote a message of peace. Abraham Lincoln had the courage to fight for freedom forever. Martin Luther King, he had the courage to speak out about racism and march to end racism. The 9/11 firemen, they had the courage to risk their lives to save others. History is made of leaders who had the courage that overcame what if. And each of these leaders, they had the decision to make between being fearful or being fearless, being doubtful or being faithful, being cautious or being courageous. And there's a story in the Bible that speaks to me about this young man who was probably around your age. His name was Timothy. And his mentor at the time, his name was Paul. He says, you know what? I need to go talk to Timothy because I'm perceiving that there's some things going on. And when he was talking to Timothy, he realized that Timothy has kind of steered away or he's walked away from the foundational principles that Paul has taught him. And Paul looks at Timothy and he says this in 1 Timothy, I believe, 4, chapter 12. He said, Christ did not give you a spirit of fear, but a spirit of love, power, and a sound mind. And I begin to ask myself, why did Paul say that to Timothy? Why did Paul say that to the young leader of the church at the time? And here's what I think. Timothy was fearful. It's that simple. Timothy was allowing fear to dominate his life. And we need to understand this, that God did not give you a spirit of fear. God did not give you a spirit of fear. The day that you gave your heart to the Lord, he says, I've made you a new creation. Do you believe that you are a new creation, that the old things have passed away? He's making all things brand new. He says, I did not give you a spirit of fear. Christ did not give you a spirit of fear, but he has given you what? Do you know fear is a spirit from Satan? And you know what fear does? If you allow it to rule your life, it will kill, steal, and destroy the destiny that God has for you. So fear is a spirit from Satan. And that's what Paul was saying to Timothy. I did not give you a spirit of fear, but I've given you what? A spirit of love. A spirit of love. A spirit of power or courageousness. And a spirit of a sound mind. Those are three different spirits that he's talking about. He's saying, listen, I've given you those. What are you allowing to drive your life tonight? Are you allowing fear to rule and to reign? Are you allowing the spirit of love, the spirit of power, the spirit of a sound mind? Here's what I know. If you allow fear to rule your life, everybody around you will feel it. Everybody will know, man, the way he talks, he's fear-driven. If you want to know if you're fear-driven or if you're being led by the spirit of love, power, and a sound mind, just ask your friends. Or just begin to hear yourself when you talk. What's your language? See, Timothy was beginning to talk about fear more than faith. So Paul had to say, you know what, Timothy, I'm here to stir something back up within you. And I think a lot of times when we read the Bible, we kind of look at it like a history book. Like, man, that was a cool story, y'all. Oh, that was cool. But this is what I want you guys to do right now. If you want the Word of God to come alive in your life, here's what you do. This is what I do. I sit and I put myself in Timothy's shoes. I'm 18 years old. God, you're calling me to lead the church of Ephesus right now. Like, there's thousands of people that I have to lead. I never went to leadership school. I never went to college. And you're calling me to lead people that are older than me? See, a lot of times, the reason the Word of God does not come alive in your life is because you look at it as a history book. You read the Word of God like it's some different book or a book that you read in history class. See, if you want the Word of God to come alive in your life, you have to let it read you. You have to allow the time for God to begin to speak to you. And when I begin to read this, I'm like, man, I'm leading a ministry right now. And Timothy was leading a ministry of thousands upon thousands upon thousands. And I began to put myself in his shoes and be like, man, how would I react? How would I respond? How would you react to that? If God called you to lead thousands of people. And I began to question myself, would I have a spirit of fear? Would I allow the spirit of fear to rule my life, or would I be led by his spirit, which is love, power, and a sound mind? And I just think about Timothy. And I think about you guys and the struggles that we face nowadays. The things that I hear coming out all the time is, man, I'm full of anxiety. Man, I'm doubting myself. I'm critical of myself. Man, I could never do that. Or what if I try and I fail? What if I get up and people make fun of me? And we allow those things to rule our lives. But Paul was telling Timothy, I did not give you a spirit of fear. I've given you a spirit of power, love, and a sound mind. You have the courage that overcomes what ifs. And there's a story in the Bible about Joshua, and I'm finishing up here so the worship team can come up, but there's a story in the Bible about Joshua. And this guy, he was a young leader as well. And Moses, who was the leader at the time, he was getting old in age. He's about 120 years old. And then Moses dies out of nowhere, y'all. Like, that's a pretty bad day. Like, if he's leading 2.5 million people out of the desert into the promised land, your leader dies, you're probably freaking out. And it's even a worse day when God taps you on the shoulder and says, you know what, now I'm calling you to lead those people into the promised land. So Joshua was this young leader. And God called him to lead a generation. And I think this story is so incredible and so timely because I believe God's calling you to lead a generation. I believe God's calling you to lead your generation, and you to lead your generation, and you to lead your generation, and to you to lead your generation. And there's two things that you guys will need to know if you want to lead your generation out of the desert into the promised land. There's two things that Joshua had to do to lead his people to where God was calling them to go. The first thing that Joshua had to do was this. Joshua had to listen to the voice of God. See, when God speaks, we should obey. And many of us hear God speaking to us, and he's telling us to do something, but we allow worry and doubt to come into our hearts. See, it says this in Joshua 1, verse 1. It says, after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord said to Joshua, what is going on right now in your life? Are you allowing busyness? Are you allowing people to speak into your life where you no longer hear his voice? One of the things that God is dealing with me right now is, Zach, you need to slow down. You live a busy life. Busy does not equal importance. You need to slow down. You're not that good. And there's sometimes I find myself in this busy season of my life, and I'm wondering why I cannot hear the voice of God. And you want to know why I cannot hear the voice of God? And maybe a reason why you cannot hear the voice of God right now is because you're allowing social media to rule your life. Every 5 minutes, you're on social media. Okay. Natalie, you mentioned me. What'd she say? Get it. Oh, yeah, girl. Let your mess become God's message. Yeah, that's good. That is really good. And we allow the media to be the driving force in our lives. Or maybe it's always doing something. I got to hang out with this friend. I got to hang out with this friend. I got to hang out with this friend. And we're so busy that we cannot be still and allow him to speak in our lives. See, Joshua, he knew this. If he was going to lead his generation from the desert into the promised land, he had to hear the voice of God. God is always speaking, but are we listening? God wants to speak to you right now. He's saying, listen, I got something for you. I got somebody you need to reach tonight. But are we listening? Are we listening to the voice of God? A majority of times, God will speak through his word. Are you allowing God to speak to you through his word? See, the second thing that Joshua, he needed this in order to lead his generation. He needed this to overcome the what-ifs in his life. When doubt crept in, when fear wanted to drive him, he needed to hear the voice of God. The second thing that he needed to do was this. He needed to meditate on the word of God. See, a lot of us want to have success. A lot of us want to be prosperous in this life, and we quote those scriptures. But here's what I know. Here's when success and prosperity come in your life. It says this. This is when you will have success and prosperity. It says, Joshua 1, chapter 8, this book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall what? Meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written. For then, you will make your ways prosperous, and then you will have good success. See, success follows action. Success follows action. You shall meditate on the word of God day and night. The word of God is like a seed, and your heart is the ground. Are you allowing God, are you allowing yourself to germinate, to feed, and to water that seed in your heart? If you want to have true success, if you want to be a leader that leads this generation, you have to meditate on his promises. Romans chapter 12, verse 2 says, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the good, perfect, and acceptable will of God. I see a generation of leaders in this room. I see warriors in this room that are sick of just going through the motions. You're sick of just coming to church. You're sick of being driven by what ifs, and you're saying, you know what? Now is the time. Now is the time. Now is the time. I am no longer driven by fear, but I'm driven by faith. Fear and faith cannot be in the same room. And what I want to do is I want to go back into worship, and I want to pray for every single one of you. Our prayer partners are going to come up here in a second. But many of us are being driven by fear. And if you're not awesome, we still want to pray for you, because we believe as a ministry, we are entering into a new season where we need the courage to go. We need the boldness to step out into the unknown. We need to do everything that God is calling us to do to reach a generation who is calling out his name. So let me pray for you guys real quick, and the worship team's going to come up, and man, we're just going to believe that God's going to do something supernatural in your life. Father God, I thank you that you have called us to be a generation to make your name famous in all generations. God, I thank you that we will not be driven by fear. We will not be driven by anxiety. We will not be driven by worry or doubt, but we will be driven by faith. God, I thank you that you have given us the boldness and the courage to overcome what ifs in our lives. That we will not be somebody that looks back in our lives and say, you know what, I wish I would have done that, or what if I would have done that. God, I thank you that we are going to be led by your Spirit, that we're going to hear you when you speak, and we're going to meditate on your truth. God, I thank you, Lord, that you're doing a work in minds right now. That you're doing a work in our hearts. That the seeds that are not from you, the weeds in our lives, are going to be pulled out tonight and be replaced with fruitful things, with fruitful seeds. So with every head bowed and eyes closed, our leaders can come up to the front as we go back into worship. I encourage every single one of you guys tonight to come up to receive prayer. It could be that fear in your life, or it could be doubt, or it could be worry, or it could be that, man, you're afraid to step out, you're afraid to lead. I want you to know tonight that God has called you to be leaders. God has called you to be on the front line for his kingdom, for his army. And as we step into this new season of our ministry, we're going to see supernatural things, not coming just from the leadership team, but coming from our teenagers. Not just coming within these four walls, but happening all around us. So Father God, I thank you, Lord, for this night. I thank you for who you are and what you are going to do. I thank you that you are going to do miracles tonight. Holy Spirit, you are so welcome to move and to have your way.